I'd like to recognize Tom Eisenhardt, who's a co-researcher on this project, and the fact that this project was supported by both ARS, ISU, and the grant from the Leopold Center. Riparian buffers, we just heard some talk about efficiency of buffers. I think probably most people in this room are familiar with what some of the benefits of riparian buffers can be. Here we show a cartoon of a three-stage buffer where we're closest to the creek. We have trees, then bushes, then grass, and then you have your row crop field next to that. The buffers can remove water, sediment, nutrients, other chemicals from surface flow, primarily by filtering and infiltration, as we just heard. You can also get shallow water leaching from the crop field going through the buffer in shallow interflow, and there's an opportunity then to interact between the riparian buffer roots and that the nutrients may be contained in that, and you can get both plant uptake or sequestration to remove primarily nitrogen in this case from that interflow. You can also get denitrification if the water, nitrate-laden water is close enough to the surface where you have a high organic matter layers, you can get some denitrification for removal. And so these can be quite effective for water quality benefits. And if you lived in a state of like Georgia or many other locations, this is how these systems will work. Unfortunately, I live in Iowa. And Iowa, much like the rest of the Midwest, is underlain by an extensive array of subsurface tile drains. And when you put a tile drain through these riparian buffers, essentially you disconnect many of the benefits of the buffer from the flow system. And so most of our water and nutrients are coming from the row crop through the tile, flowing underneath the buffer, most of the time in a closed pipe, because if you had a slotted pipe here, it gets plugged up with the buffer roots, and so it doesn't work very well after a while. So a lot of times this will be a solid pipe and then directly discharges that into the stream, and there's a disconnect there, so now your riparian buffer no longer has an opportunity to even be exposed to the nutrients that are in that water stream, and all you're left with is some of the filtering surface overland flow processes. So the question that we asked ourselves was, is there an opportunity for us to reintegrate and reconnect the tile flow coming off those fields with the buffers and get some increased benefits from these riparian buffers? And that would be the thing that we'd want to look at, primarily focusing on nitrate, because nitrate is primarily what's being carried by that shallow interflow. So the idea is something represented in this cartoon here, where you have your row crop field that's being drained on the right side there. It flows into the tile, and it typically just discharges straight out through the riparian buffer out into the stream with very little opportunity for interaction. So the question is, well, what happens if we put a diverter box or control box at the top of that buffer and redistribute some of that water through a new buried tile that runs along the top of the riparian buffer, where we can now, if we raise the head in that diverter box, get some water to infiltrate through that buried pipe, run through the buffer as shallow interflow, and now there's an opportunity for interaction between any nutrients that may be in that water and the riparian buffer. Another cartoon here illustrating kind of our thoughts of how the system would work, and this is on the profile where you can see the blue dot there would represent the distribution pipe that we'd be running through the riparian buffer. And so if we can raise the water table there, get some interflow going down through that buffer now, we can get some interaction between the buffer roots and the nutrients that may be in that flows coming from the tile. That's represented by number A there. B, if we can raise it up even higher, maybe get up that water table up into the high organic matter surface soils, we'd have an opportunity for some denitrification and complete removal of that nitrogen then from the system. But we'd want to be careful, at least in a system here where we have some slope going down to the stream. If we raise the water table too high, we could get a seepage face forming in that buffer. And that probably wouldn't be a good thing, because you get seepage face there, you start having surface flow, you could have chances for channeling and erosion, and that may not be good, because you could run into a situation there where you might get some sloughing into the stream, which are often used also as drainage ditches and You'd have a lot of unhappy farmers and drainage district personnel if you're starting to fill in their streams or drainage canals, and they got to go out there and do maintenance and clean those things out periodically. So there may be some sort of fine tuning here that we'd have to do between getting the water table high enough and not getting it too high. So after many years of thinking about this, we finally were able to get some funding through the Leopold Center to go ahead and put one of these systems in. And this is a overhead picture of what we have here. This is done at Bear Creek, which is a world-renowned stream for which has riparian buffers put in along it for the last 20 years. What you see is a cornfield down to your lower left there. It flows down, or it's being drained by a series of field tiles, which are represented by the dots there. We intercepted one of those field tiles there with the yellow box, with the three-chamber control box, which we'll talk more about in a second. The solid yellow line is the new distribution tile that we put in along the top of that riparian buffer, and that we are now diverting some of that tile flow into that tile. It'll then infiltrate, hopefully, through that buffer and get to the stream, and before it gets to that stream, the idea is that we'll remove some of the nitrate. The blue dots there represent a series of well transects that we have in place so that we can monitor the nitrate as it infiltrates from the tile through the buffer to the stream, so we can look to see are we actually removing nitrate as it moves along that shallow groundwater flow path or not. And here's just a photograph of the beautiful Iowa countryside, where you see the crop field up to the left there, running down to the side of our buffer. We're putting the distribution tile in here, so that's what the ditch is there, running along the edge of the grass part of the buffer. Then you see the bushes and the trees going down to the stream to your right. And then this is hooked up to a control box here, where we're able to set the water table depth within that distribution tile. And of course, setting the head on that will help determine how much water we're able to infiltrate into the buffer. The chamber box that you see there is a three-chamber box. Here's a cartoon of a cutaway of that chamber. If you look at the middle chamber there, and a little circle down there, that's the distribution. It's connected to the distribution tile that are sending out laterally across the through the buffer. However high we set those boards that are in that second chamber determines how much head we're putting on that distribution pipe. And anything that does not get infiltrated into the buffer, then it will spill over the top, go right back out to the stream. And so we're not really diverting or changing the native drainage system of the farmer's field, because anything that the buffer can't take is just going to be discharged directly back out in the stream as it was doing before. The first chamber we have here in this case is we've raised it up to head enough that the red bars there represent weirs that we have in place. They're V-notch weirs, so we can measure how much water is coming out of the field, how much water is coming out of that second chamber, and the difference between those two is how much being infiltrated into the riparian buffer. So it's just a way of monitoring the performance of the system in this case. So we got 1 year's worth of results. We put this in last fall and been monitoring it since that time. And I'll just share with you the results from this first year of this project. Here we just see the flow rate coming through that distribution box. We have time down below, February through October of this year. Flow rates there in cubic meters per day. The blue line here represents how much water is coming out of that field tile into our control box. The red line is the water that's coming out of the control box, or that the buffer can't handle, and is being distributed, being discharged directly into the stream. Hopefully there's a difference between those two, and that difference represents how much water is going out into the buffer. You can see a portion of time there in May where we actually opened up the gates and just let the water drain out of the field. That was during planting of that field. We wanted to make sure that we weren't raising the water table too high in this case to impact the planting of this soybean this year. But in actuality, we're downslope enough that I don't think that's going to be a problem. So probably next year we'll just leave the whole system in place when the farmer plants. There'll be corn next year. So that's the difference there. The actual flow into the buffer is represented in this slide, where the blue dots is the infiltration or difference between those two curves measured throughout the year. And you can see that we're averaging somewhere around about 200 liters per minute going into that buffer from this system. The red line there represents the cumulative nitrate that's now being diverted into the buffer. We measure that by knowing how much nitrate is coming out of the field tile. Now we know how much water's going into the buffer, and we can accumulate then how much nitrate is being put into the buffer. And actually, you'll see in a minute, it's actually what's being removed from the system. And you see, cumulatively from this year, we've removed about 250 kilograms of nitrogen that otherwise would have been discharged straight into the stream. It's now being diverted down through that riparian buffer, and actually is being removed. And we, bottom line on this whole thing is that we're diverting about 60% of the flow, because obviously during the high flow periods, the buffer can't take all the flow, but we're actually diverting about 60% so far this year. And then how much of that nitrate that we've diverted into the buffer are we actually removing? And that's represented here. These are the well transects that you see here, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the left side there, and different dates across the top. The first row represents the well that's closest to the distribution tile. The next one's in the middle. The third one is closest to the stream. And you can see down the bottom here, the field tile is running about 10 milligrams per liter nitrate. And that you can see in those first set of wells on each transect that we've already reduced some of the nitrate. By the time you get to the second one, which is about 7 or 8 meters away, we see typically almost no nitrates below our detection limits. And the wells closest to the stream, we've not seen any detectable nitrate at all. So we're removing that nitrate either through denitrification or through sequestration. Talk a little bit about economics, and I'll just skip through a lot of these to get to the bottom here. Cost of this practice, so we figured how much nitrate we were removing through this first year, the cost of installation, is about 42 cents per kilogram of nitrate removed, which really doesn't mean much unless you compare it to other practices that are out there for removing nitrate. For example, constructed wetlands, which is about $2.91 per kilogram removed, or fall planted cover crops, which come out to about $6.70 per kilogram removed. So you can see that this practice is very economically competitive with many other practices that are currently being touted as nitrogen removal practices. And then a little bit of potential impact. Obviously, we'd have to put these into a lot of different buffers around the country. There's no good information as to the extent of buffers that's currently available. So we use some GIS techniques here to come up with an estimate of what's being buffered and what's not buffered currently in the state of Iowa. In this case, this is about 150 square miles around the Bear Creek area. The streams there in yellow are actually streams going through row cropped areas that are not buffered. The pink ones are actually streams that are currently buffered with some sort of perennial vegetation. And so those are the ones we key on right now. And we estimate about 63,000 kilometers of buffers are currently in place in the state of Iowa. If we only assume that maybe 10% of these are going to be suitable for this practice, because obviously you're not going to be able to do this everywhere on all the buffers, and certainly there will be landowners who don't want to do this, but just assuming 10% of those buffer miles are suitable for the practice, and that the other buffers work as well as we've seen this first year, where we get 120 kilograms of N removed per kilometer per year. Bottom line on this is that we could remove 5.2 million kilograms of nitrogen every year just on those 10% of buffer streams in Iowa. Big number. Of course, it pales when you compare it to perhaps the amount of nitrogen that's flowing to the Gulf every year, but certainly it would give us a pretty substantial step in the right direction. And with that, I'll say thank you.
Stan, very good. We have time for a question?
Time.
So, but your cost per kilogram of nitrogen doesn't include the cost of establishing the buffer or the land being taken out of production for
that? That's correct. And the idea there is since those buffers are already in place, and that cost has already been paid, this is, in our view, is just a way of getting extra benefit from those buffers that are already in place. You know, a few years ago, NRCS was putting in 2 million miles of buffers by, I don't know, by 2010 or something, I don't know what. But those buffers are out there right now, and they're not performing as well as they could be if we were to make the small modification.
So 820 kilos per kilometer, that's length per kilometer?
Yeah, a buffer, a riparian buffer.
So what is that on
kilos per hectare? Well, it depends on how much your loading is.